Neither does it, Meg.
Executive's office.
All right, let's get started. I'd like to call the April 18th meeting of Ways and Means to order. Resolution 101, as presented before you. Do you have a motion?
I'll move it to discuss.
Second.
Second for discussion.
Discussion.
I just need a moment to get there.
This is on the big gear.
101.
Oh, so this has been amended?
I think so.
Yeah.
There it is. Oh, yeah.
Bottom.
So we're going to have to amend these on the floor, but we should talk about
it. What was amended on this? Does anyone know?
Yes.
What's the matter? It's meeting night.
So if you look, sorry, these did come late from the executive's office, but I appreciate that we worked through them. This is removing the one vehicle for human rights.
Oh.
It's in one of the whereases, which causes an amendment. It
to
causes an adjustment to the bond and the
$60,000. Is there a reason why they removed it?
I think that there had never been an approval from the executive's office for adding it.
Oh, okay.
That's my
there.
I don't know.
I'm just saying. No.
Okay.
My understanding.
I mean, I would have pushed back.
Yeah. But we all were like, what? And I think the understanding was that there had not actually been approved internally.
Any other discussion?
So we can amend on the floor as presented.
Good, good. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carry. Kim, thank you.
I don't know if she can hear or not. Kim's on the phone.
Is Kim on the phone?
She is.
Can I just say that I know that we don't need to talk about this package, but I have spoken at length with Deputy County Executive Laval, and I do think it's worthy of having a conversation. Probably the appropriate place would be Public Works, but to really go into the take-home vehicle policy. It'll take too long right now, and I'm just starting to go through the paperwork. The legislature did pass a policy many years ago, and there have been some changes to standard operating procedures, but I would say that the standard operating procedures can't supersede legislative policy, so we want to make sure that the take-home vehicle list, the assigned take-home vehicle list, is actually in compliance with the legislative policy, and we should probably have a look at that. And so some, I know that that Kim has a full handle on all this, and probably it would be helpful if she could be present when we do talk about that.
Yes. She is on the phone, but for another meeting.
For another meeting, yeah. I mean, I'm not even ready. I got all that information today. But I do think we do need to this needs to be discussed. All right.
Thank you. Resolution 102 is the bond. Can I have a motion?
That's
presented for you.
I'll second.
Second. Yeah. Again, this is with the financial change.
Yeah. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Heard. Bernice here.
Thank you.
Chris is out there.
I did.
Where's Chris?
He was out there.
For the next one.
He was in Jay's office.
Okay, Resolution 123.
Do you want me to get me out of here?
Yeah.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second.
123,
second.
Discussion.
Yeah, so
part of postponing it was to give our attorneys a chance to look it over. So I just want to give Chris a chance to come in and tell us whether it's all cool. Hi, Chris. So we're talking about Resolution 123, the hiring freeze.
Okay.
Did you have a chance to read it through?
I did.
Any concerns?
It's just about voting on 101.
You know, obviously, as long as it doesn't affect existing agreements that we have in place, it's not necessarily on its face illegal. But there have, I mean, I would suggest that we potentially add some language
here
that identifies that problem.
I can't really hear you.
Sorry.
Okay.
You're a little loud.
I would, you know, my only concern is that, it, you know, we have to, I think, add potentially some language that would carve out any existing contracts that may be affected by such a freeze, trying to ensure that it doesn't contradict any existing contracts we have in place.
We need a grandfather clause.
Grandparent.
Can I just understand? Are you? Sorry.
Yeah, you are.
Are you suggesting that there needs to be amendments to this?
I mean, I think it wouldn't hurt. I don't know if it's absolutely critical. It's on its face illegal or otherwise improper. But that was my only concern. Is that
did your attorney?
He's not here. I'm not 100% sure. I'm sure he's looked at it.
Do you want me to call Nick?
I mean, if you want. I mean, he's on his way, but he wasn't going to make it by ways and means. He and you had a long talk?
Not necessarily just about this.
Yeah, but about everything.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't think there's any colossal rush on this, so we could postpone it until next month, and you and Nick could work together on some language that would make you more comfortable.
Very good.
Make a motion to postpone until our next meeting.
Second.
Discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Carried. 127. Have a motion?
Move it.
Second.
Mr. Ustaw?
So I, based on the feedback throughout the last week's meetings, made some pretty significant edits to this that I shared with the chair of Ways and Means, I have them printed. Natalie, graciously printed them out. I have copies for everyone. However, I'm not going to ask you guys to amend it right now, because these are substantive changes to the policy, to the notion of there being a policy, to the process, and I believe that those types of changes should not happen in Ways and Means. Those types of changes should happen in the Committee of Origin, so I'm going to ask for a referral back to Health on this, and I also want to just say to the County Executive Staff and Chair that this is why it's so important that we get feedback on resolutions in the Committee of Origin, so they don't pass out of that Committee of Origin, make it into a Fiscal Oversight Committee, and get feedback that are on substantive policy changes. It's very important. So I ask that this be referred back to Health Human Services.
Make that motion.
Second.
I'll second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Excuse me. 153. As presented before you.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion.
Where do we begin? There's an amendment here.
Yeah. All right. There's amendments.
153. You want to speak to me? But it's been a long time.
Yeah. I mean, and Deputy Executive Laval can speak to it as well. Okay. So this is Resolution 153. Extensive discussion with the Executive's office. Do you want us to go through line by line, or what kind of detail does everybody want?
A lot of detail.
Okay, so the rental of the property did not, as you heard in the previous meeting, did not reflect the full occupancy. There's a tenant that wasn't reflected, so the new rental of property reflects the full tenancy at the moment. Appropriated fund balance is adjusted due to all the rest of what you're about to hear. Gas and electric, it's combining two lines. The cleaning was adjusted down. Other fuels were adjusted down. Pest control was deemed that we wouldn't need, in part because we're under strict regulations in terms of what we can utilize for pest. Snow removal was adjusted down, considering that we're only talking about 9 months at this point. Water usage, again, similar concept. Maintenance and other repairs was adjusted down in recognition that there are probably extensive repairs required at the building if we were to be keeping the building for our occupancy. There would be much more extensive repairs, but in terms of selling, decided to limit those numbers. Professional services, other maintains the same. Garbage removal adjusted down based on new estimates, and it's expected that that could possibly even go down further. This was contemplated by the previous management company, which was based on a full occupancy. Miscellaneous contractual expenses are the taxes, which are reflected. Amber can speak to that more effectively, but essentially it's reflecting our ownership, the taxes during the period of our ownership, because of, for accounting purposes, we're doing it differently than we do when we make the towns and the school whole with journal entries, and telephone adjusted down. So all of that results in significant changes, which you can see here in terms of the budget.
Yeah, you're wrong.
Go ahead.
You
no,
go first.
No, you go first.
It's your town.
You're the deputy.
So I understand that some of these are about, you know, the length of ownership of, you know, because we're how many months into the year, but how many of them are, and what's just sort of like, hey, we can cut here, we can cut here, and if we have to go back and add more, we'll add more.
I wouldn't characterize as, hey, we can cut here, we can cut here. And again, Deputy Executive Laval can speak to this. The property manager that we're about to contemplate hiring in the next resolution has also looked over these. Remember that the numbers that we were given, the initial numbers, were from the previous management company, assuming the previous management company's assumptions, which arguably, by all accounts, were exaggerated. And that's, I mean, that's a longer story, but just even dealing in snow removal, which is one thing that I could speak to, that they spoke to at the time that I toured the building, that they spoke to us about, they were plowing the entire envelope of the property, despite the fact that they only had 20 cars in the parking lot, in one section of the parking lot. So the new, soon-to-be new property manager was able to look at this and make some other educated changes to that budget. That's not happening with things like gas and electric or taxes. The taxes did get an amendment, but it has to do with
a portion
of our ownership.
With, you know, and I don't want to go too far down a rabbit hole here with micromanagement, but, you know, if we don't plow the whole parking lot and somebody goes in there in their car and wrecks their car, Aren't we liable as the owners of the building?
I don't think so, but I also think that, I mean, I think, just using
that as... We got an attorney shaking his head yes.
I'm thinking, you know, it's private property. I don't think you have to, you can leave a portion of the snow unplowed. And in fact, the previous manager said that he was about to do that. He was about to stop plowing the entire parking lot. If you have an unplowed portion of the parking lot that no one accesses. But I feel like now we're micromanaging. The point is we only have 1 month of potential snow in this year that...
No, December.
October, November, December.
Oh.
Historically.
It doesn't even snow in January.
And we're doing this privately. We're not having DPW run there with some plow.
I have no idea. Again, that's all micromanaging. It's just an adjustment of the numbers to what the new property manager felt was reasonable.
Set a temporary thing.
I would agree that it's private property when it was privately owned, but now it's publicly owned. It's public property. So...
Yeah, but not.
Yeah.
You could ask the deputy executive if they're comfortable with these numbers. Again, they were reached both by adjusting real expenses and adjusting based on the property manager to be.
I get it. I mean, they want this to pass, so they're going to say that they're comfortable with the numbers, but they brought us numbers that they were comfortable with in the first place.
They weren't their numbers. That's what I'm saying. They were the previous manager's numbers.
So the executive's office didn't do their due diligence then.
Exactly.
That's, you know, one thing or the other. It can't be both.
So
no, I'm to acknowledge you. I have you on the list.
Okay. Yes.
Legislator Cahill.
Yes, thanks. So Legislator Rock asked very similar questions to what I was going to ask, so I'm okay. We can go to the next person. Thank you. That's why I let you go first.
Walter?
Yeah, I guess what I would, and I have two sides of my face right now. On one side is, I would imagine that if something is considerably more expensive than expected, as always, the executive office would come and tell us and say, we underestimated this and we're going to need it to be more. That's what they do, and reasonably so. I'm not saying negatively so. And so I don't know if we have to worry that much if snow removal will be $2,000 more or not at this point. I also think there is the, you know, whether maintenance repair is truly 52,000. I mean, I think it's all an estimate. It may not snow at all. It may snow every single day. They may not need 52,000. They may need 252,000. And either way, they're going to have to come tell us. So the other side of me is saying, I'm not that worried about this. I just wonder whether, similar to Tech City, where we did put in a request that any new costs, even if they're under 55, would come to us, so that it just didn't inch up and inch up and inch up in a way that we didn't realize, and all of a sudden this is, you know, $500,000 more than we knew it would be. So doesn't change this resolution, but I don't know if that would be a useful later resolution to do.
I say not.
Yes, thank you. In the direction of Legislator Walter, the prior figures were up to, and so they would have had us thinking that this could be a much larger. This is still an up to and an estimate, but with an estimate, you go with an estimate. We were under strong pressure to, you know, move this building to this situation, and now the executive's office has to take care of it. And if these are reasonable figures, which I think they are, then we should accept them and let that maintenance start on the building.
Legislator Mahoney?
You said in the I was told that in the contract there is a procurement language that that Thierry has to oversee. Who is going to verify that when we do contract with these different firms on this property, that the procurement policy that's been laid forth in the contract is being followed? Is that our responsibility? Is it purchasing's responsibility? Can somebody explain to me the logistics and use positions and what they're going to do, when they're going to do it, and how they're going to do it?
So to speak to your question, the property manager will see quotes. Because the contract with the property manager is opposed to DPW, they will be the counterparts to be looking at any of the information that comes back from the property manager.
Brendan Masterson will be checking the what is put forth by the Fury when she goes out for a quote or a bid, and then he will check what comes in. He will check. I mean, that's what I'm asking.
Right. Well, as far as staff, I believe there's language in the contract that does speak to getting quotes for different types of work. And that will be, she's under the way this is, the utility of this is that it does allow the Terry to move quicker than the county would, mainly through my contracting. She is a property manager by profession, so she does have certain vendors that she has established relationships with. However, she is very much the end of here is we have a tight budget, we have things we need to do, so the costs have to come down. So that part will be very closely watched, because the county will be paying the bills through these various line items, and then we'll have to make sure all the backup is there and that those are appropriate costs. So those will all go through DPW as part of the payments.
But how that's going to work and who in DPW is going to be double checking. So basically she has her people, she's going to use those people, and we're going to trust that she's going to get us a good price on stuff.
But also absolutely seeking quotes where appropriate too. If we have problems with equipment or something like that wouldn't be a
says right in
there. What would be a one item? Plowing?
I would have to talk it through, to be honest, as far as I know what you're speaking towards, that there should be competition. We shouldn't just be leaning on this vendor to choose their vendors, that we need to make sure and maintain that process. So I'd like to
But that has never worked out.
It's in the contract.
But
great.
That's all right. We don't need to be with the death, but it seems where we're at.
I don't know. I haven't seen
For the contract.
Yeah. I think that should be we'll double check the contract language.
I know a lot of the vendors that she has. She had given me a list of her current vendors. It's a lot of vendors that we currently contract with. Like for trash and recycling, it's County Waste, which we already contract with.
Thank you. So there's a paragraph in there, paragraph A, for bidding and rebates. It says, unless otherwise consented to or directed by the county, all jobs shall be awarded on the basis of competitive bidding process using proposed contractors selected by the county, which shall be supervised by the firm. So
that doesn't sound like what was just described.
That's what the contract says. And secondly, the other question I had was, and through the chair to Deputy Executive, does this company have the experience with this size building and this size of a maintenance contract? I mean, it's a big building. It's an industrial sized building. Do they, you know?
They oversaw Broadway.
Excuse me. Broadway. I want you to.
My name is Dean Rawless. I'm the Deputy Commissioner of DPW.
Thank you.
She does. She previously property managed the 368 Broadway, purchase. She also manages the building across the street, the Beeson Hospital, and the Mary's Avenue campus in front of the Beeson Hospital.
Okay, so she does specialize in medical.
She has several buildings that she's
okay. Thank you. And so, like I said, so I don't know if this satisfies the bidding issue as far as contracting and what she does, but you know, it does give the county the consent to not bid as well, right? And so, you know, that's. Something that, I don't know.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, this contract is in draft form. I know our attorneys are going to be looking at it with the county attorney. What became apparent to me today is that there's a lot of aspects of this contract which isn't what we want in the contract. I mean, this contract contemplates a bank account that's receiving all the rent and then payments coming out of that bank account. That's not going to happen. So it's like there's going to be substantial changes to this contract, which our attorneys, along with the county attorney, will be looking at. I think that, you know, the main concern is to get the building manager in place and to start to get some of these bills paid. That's really the situation we're in. We're trying to get more accurate numbers, which you'll see in the one we're talking about. We're going to see a much lower contract because the firm is not going to be paying the taxes, is not going to be paying Central Hudson. Like, we were looking at a contract that contemplated that she had to write a check for the taxes and then being reimbursed by the county. That's not going to happen. That's why that contract was so high. So it took a lot of energy to get this sorted, but there is going to be more work done to the contract, certainly.
Any other discussion? I'll just say, I did tour that building just before this meeting, and it's a monster of a building. Jeez. It's just ginormous. I mean, it's just, you can't imagine the size of that building. It's big. It's got a lot of building to have. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
As amended, but we're going to amend
them. Yeah. I mean, I'll say I'm going to probably support it because we own the building. We have to do. But I'm probably going to be a no on the amendment. Okay.
Resolution 154. Second.
Second.
Discussion.
So just to this is the deduction is just the taxes. Can you just reiterate what went towards that?
So it's
in here.
Okay, where is it? I have it.
It's 154.
Yeah,
53 has the detail, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 153 has the detail. So it is removing the taxes from that list of the budget. It's removing the I don't have it in front of me. It's removing taxes, it's removing Central Hudson, it's removing gas, which all will be paid directly by the county. Gas and electric will be paid directly by the county and the taxes. And then when you add on, because you had to add the additional revenue and then the adjustment for the lowered expenses, that's the balance of what's left. Correct? Is that
this is for the total value of the contract?
Yeah.
So it's just that will be handled by the property manager and the community.
So it's essentially, again, I don't have the list in front of me. It's the snow removal,
it's the gym.
Well, they're all in there.
Right, it's hard to say which ones.
Yeah.
It's elevator maintenance, it's fire safety, cleaning,
garbage,
snow removal, garbage.
Maybe it's easier to say what is still in there.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. That's what the things that are in. Okay.
Professional services, other. That's it. It's no longer water usage, gas and electric, fuels, and the taxes.
Okay.
And all of that adds up to this.
I changed my mind. I'm going to change my vote on the last one to a no. And I'm going to be a no on this too. It really feels like we're doing this in the back of a napkin, which I think is dangerous. So. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed.
I move we block resolutions 7 through 15.
Same. I'll second that.
Second. All those in favor? Block.
Aye.
Opposed. Okay. Unblock.
Just for the record, they're all bonds. So, yeah. Thank you. For things that we've already approved.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 199, as presented before you.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion?
I can speak.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I spoke with Legislator Sperry earlier today, and after a conversation with the executive's office and some back and forth about where the funds were going to go, and also the previous discussion about whether or not this would actually be able to be implemented this year to this extent, she and I are going to ask for a one-month postponement, where we're going to work on a more comprehensive policy that we'll come back with hopefully within the month. Our aim is really to shore up a policy for the 2024 budget, but we are going to internally look to Legislator Erner's suggestion of doing a pilot program, a smaller pilot program, maybe even two, with one or two shares and a local pantry, just so we can also gain some experience from that. ARPA funds are funding a study that has to do with food insecurity, and it's getting many stakeholders to the table, so we expect to be informed by that as well in terms of bringing back. So we'd ask at this moment, we just ask for the 1 month postponement, but we will report back if we need another month.
I move we postpone it for a month. Okay. Until the next meeting.
Thanks.
Second.
Second. Yeah, so I think that's great. I think, you know, when I go back to the last meeting and we're talking about the engagement of food pantries in this, I hope that some food pantries are brought into the conversation about what would be actually feasible for them to manage, like, would they need extra staff to do this, extra space, extra time? So
equipment,
just so that it
storage,
we know that it works for them, if that's one of the desired ways is to involve them. I hope they have a voice in what it would take for them to be able to implement it, if that's the way that works.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
On the postponement, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Resolution 213, commission.
I'll move it.
Second.
I'll second.
Again, I'm going to ask for postponement until our next meeting. We received extensive comments from the comptroller, and I will be working with Deputy Clerk Financial Analyst Feaster to actually incorporate or not incorporate those. We're going to go through them. We just haven't had the time, so we need a little more. We need a month.
Make a motion to postpone until next meeting.
Thank you.
Through the chair to Chair Bartels, can you include the rest of the body in, to the extent, like, I would love to also weigh in.
Absolutely. Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Thank you. 214.
Move for discussion.
Second.
Yeah. So, I want to just say I support this resolution. I was the one who put in the budget amendment to have these grant positions, and I'll just say anecdotally, a few months ago, I came across an RFP for a grant that was award money, that if you applied for it, you just say what great things you're doing in your county, and if you win, you get $250,000 just to say thank you. Not to do anything. Most grants are to actually implement programs. This was just a recognition, and the executive's office couldn't apply for it because they don't have the staff to do it. So, like, if they had this person in place, it would have already paid for itself. And so I really urge us, I think we leave money on the table a lot by not having a solid grants team. This is only just two people, but in my world, I could just say these jobs pay for themselves more than, not only in bringing in money, but actually the programs they add to the county and the attention they add to the county. So I just really hope everyone will support this.
So two things. One, this is actually as amended, which you have in today, but just to clarify, these are already been approved. These are just,
but they're increased salaries.
Yeah,
and I'm saying right. That they increase. I don't want anyone to be concerned. I'm defending the increase of the salary.
Okay, gotcha.
Not the allocation of the money.
Gotcha. Right. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Can't say no after that.
Resolution 215 as presented before.
Second.
Discussion.
I don't know if anyone had any questions. I just don't see where the amendment. I know it was. Did that 215? Were those amendments?
They should have been in the email.
They're in the email. So they were. Okay. I don't know if anyone has any questions on the amendments. I did speak to the executive's office about them. It's upsetting the public hearing. They were circulated via email. That's where I was just looking to see if they were printed. Yes. I don't have them in front of me at the moment, but we had. So it had stated in the establishment of the budget. It had stated the language of that the director of budget shall report directly to the county executive and the Ulster County Legislature. We had a discussion about the fact that the director of budget would be tasked with formulating the budget, which is clearly in the charter under the executive. So the language, we removed that language, and the language reflects the same language that the commissioner of finance in the charter has, which allows one for the legislature to confirm the appointment, but also to perform such other and related duties required by the executive and the legislature. I feel like will give us the accountability, but removes the concern from the executive.
Two things. One is the language that exists for the Commissioner of Finance never worked. We had no access to the Commissioner of Finance. There's still an investigation that went on into him that we haven't even been allowed to see, even though we have charter jurisdiction oversight, as our attorney will tell us. So what good is this language if it's never worked before? Secondly, if the problem with the language was the charter, this, I believe, is a charter change as well, why not go further, change the language in the charter about the budget being the responsibility of the exec, and change it where we do have more oversight over it. But if we're just going to put a duplication of language that has never worked before in this county, is the answer that Jen's nicer, so it will work? Because I don't know if that's the only thing that's different, is we have like kind of a nicer executive now. So I don't know why we would put language in that's never historically worked.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I don't know that it's never historically worked, but we may not have availed ourselves of the opportunity that existed in the charter. I mean, my read of the legislature's ability to require duties means not one legislator, means the legislature, and we could pass a resolution requiring the Commissioner of Finance to do X, Y, or Z. We haven't done that. I don't know if we've ever done it, but we don't do it on the regular, that's for sure. What I would contemplate in this is that, and I won't be here for it, but that the next body would be able to go ahead and pass a resolution requiring certain duties of this Director of Budget, and that would be something that would actually have an impact beyond, and particularly as it relates to maintaining the budget, not the creation of the budget, because I do see those as distinct duties in the charter. You're raising a totally different issue, which we could have a conversation about, but right now the charter doesn't contemplate the legislature crafting the budget. It's the executive budget that's presented to the legislature. So I don't know. I do think it's important to separate the duties. I do think this is a way to make it happen, but I am open to hearing from colleagues on the subject. And if for some reason you didn't want to move it this month, this is just setting the public hearing. We could have a more extensive conversation, but I know Minority Leader Ronk had his hand up, and I would want to know what he had to say, too.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I think, you know, I hesitate to speak for anybody, but I think that one of the things that Legislator Maloney was alluding to is, you know, one of the things that wasn't working, and it was, I believe, something that this body has done on multiple occasions to attempt to instruct or give a duty to the Commissioner of Finances, the Departmental Budget Estimates. And we tried that twice in the charter, and we've been proverbially told to pound salt, mm-hmm. you know, several times.
They don't exist.
What?
They don't exist. The budget.
They do exist. They do exist, and what they are is what's in the budget. you know, so I think that, I don't know, Legislator Maloney, if that's what you were talking about with one of the things that's not working, but I think that we have, as a body, on multiple occasions, tried to alleviate that problem, and it's been unsuccessful. So,
Legislator Maloney?
Yeah, I think we could disappoint you again this past year with that topic, but I think it could, and I don't know if it may be substantive, but I mean, I don't mind moving forward because this is something I overall like the idea of. I just struggle to see if it's going to be any different without some more specifics built in. And I, as what frustrates me a lot of times as a legislator is, I need 11 other people to go and get simple information from the county attorney. If I want to get, you know, a question answered by the county attorney, I literally have to pass a resolution with 11 other people, or somehow get a subpoena. So I just don't, if it's too vague, and I think we probably need built in requirements that become standardized if we're going to get any real access. And I don't think, I hope it doesn't end here, because we got a problem with planning, economic development. We have a problem with access, and I think the county would actually function better if those situations were cleared up. I don't think it would take longer. I don't think we'd be a hindrance. I think if there was some way to make these department heads, you know, I think the department heads should be mm-hmm. meeting more often, to be honest with you, but that's a conversation. We shouldn't constantly be going through deputy executives. We should have Brendan Masterson in here. We should have the fleet manager in here. They should be in here answering our questions.
Sorry, Trevor does.
Yeah, so, you know, on the issue of budget estimates, like, that's definitely something we're requesting the Charter Revision Commission to provide clarity and guarantee, because I agree with you, that's been a challenge, and we almost got to the point of a lawsuit not long ago.
I don't think the Charter Commission can guarantee it without a lawsuit. I mean, really, that's... So,
but on this, I again, like I asked the committee what you want to do. Are you happy with it the way it is, or do you want to look for something more specific in here? I just think we should. Time is sensitive, but not this month sensitive. So,
thank you. So, 2B1 in here says, provide guidance in the form of budget forecasts to all departments and units of county government for the purpose of assisting in the preparation of budget requests. Copies of all such forecasts shall be filed with the Office of the Clerk of the Legislature. That is an enforceable clause in my view. And if we're not enforcing that, who's that on? That's on us, right? And so, I mean, I'll just say this. You know, if we want to strengthen something, it would be that, 2B1. Right, where we could put something a little with more teeth. I don't know what we could do, but that's in there. It's already there, and if we're not enforcing it in some way, I don't know what more words we'll do there. Right, I write instructions for a living, and I, you know, I get requests to put more words at. If they're not reading it, it doesn't matter. If they're not following it, it doesn't matter. And so this is clearly a situation where, you know, that is not being followed, right, and never has been since I've been here, right. And so how do we enforce that? How do we go forward and make sure that, you know, they are required to give us forecasts? I know, but I'm just saying.
We had similar
language, but not as strong as this, right?
Because I mean, the only way we could enforce that is to, you know, walk down to Wall Street.
Yeah, I that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, we could postpone it and put a million words in there, but if the executive's office isn't going to be cooperative and provide us with these estimates when we require them, then what's the point? We end up in a courtroom, right?
Commissioner Rock?
Legislator Cahill took the words right out of my mouth.
So we're even.
We could vote down the budget, but we'll see where that goes. But another thought for the future is the appointment process as well. Planning, I believe the planning board gives the executive a pool of three people to choose from. It gives you a little more involvement in the original appointment. I don't know if that's a thought to go through down the road as well, but I think we, you know,
appoint
and then have an answer.
If I could just lend some clarity, the Charter Revision Commission met last night, and they actually approved the change to the budget estimate language, and there is agreement with the executive on what that language will be, which is that when the budget is released, the budget estimates will be made available.
Okay. Yeah. Well, isn't that lovely?
Way more like two times ago. Than we get right now. We do not have
backwards.
Information right now, and you know, if you guys want to go back to the Charter Revision Commission and ask for more, you know, feel free. We had put in a Charter Revision Amendment to have that released at the time that the budget is released, because it will provide you what the requested
this
budget
goes further
from the departments.
This goes further.
But there's nothing...
That's crazy.
May I?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, there's nothing that stops them from putting a budget estimate together that says what's in the budget is the same.
That's what we were told over and over.
It's supposed to be a departmental request.
Well, it's supposed to be.
Which is what I
said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
All right,
Chair.
Sam, well, let me just jump in for a second with what Comptroller Guy was saying. So we get that now. The problem is of what it's a semantics, but what they're calling it. It's not an estimate until the exec's office declares it an estimate. Doesn't matter what the budget, what the department asked for. That doesn't exist until it's been blessed and codified in stone that that's what's going to be in the budget. That's the estimate. That's what our complaint has been since I've been here. That's been the complaint and issue.
One of the changes that was adopted was defining the word department in the charter so that the way the executive got around this is by saying the entire executive branch is a single department, the executive's department. That has been changed to be every single department that is enumerated in the charter, so department now has a definition.
That's not true.
Yeah, that's not
that
how they
the
that is not how they've been presenting it to us. They've been presenting it as the DPW, their estimate doesn't exist until the exec's office says, yes, this is the DPW estimate. It's still the DPW department, but until the exec's team, the deputy that oversees it, approves it, and de facto the executive herself, until they approve it, that doesn't exist. It's scratched on paper until then. It doesn't really exist.
Yeah,
it's
a ghost. There is an entry in New World for the departments to make their budget requests. It's called budget level 4 budget worksheets or something like that. And those are accepted. I mean, once they're released, they're I don't think they can be changed once they're submitted.
So those are requests, not estimates. That's the semantics. That's the game we're playing here. And that's what this is. What you're hearing around this table in the frustration.
You guys can bring it to the chart.
Yeah, that's
what's the issue. I've tried my best to get you a solution, but maybe you have a way to get something better.
Yeah. Chair Bartels.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that I never heard an argument from any exec that the whole executive department is department. What I heard is what, in more specific terms, what I heard stated was that without the revenue estimates, which come in right before the budget submission, it's not a real estimate. And in fact, a person that will not be named said the departmental estimates are contained in the executive budget. That's when they become real, literally and fully, full stop. So what's clear is that the charter right now states that departmental estimates, which we all know because even the office of the legislature has to submit departmental estimates, and we get them from the duly electeds. Departmental estimates are submitted somewhere around July, August. Like, we know that this is when this happens, and for better or worse, the charter says that those are public information and we get to see them. Have we ever seen them? Never. But that's what the charter says right now. So if we really wanted to take this to the wall, the thing to do would be to sue to enforce the charter, not to change the charter to actually say that we're going to get estimates on the date of the budget submission, because from my perspective, that's why I've been fighting and arguing to try to get more time. This is all about time with the budget. What we would get from the budget estimates is not to me, I don't care that it's the wish list, it's more time to actually be working the numbers, for our people to be figuring it out. Like, we work on a really, really short term as part-time people with very little information to try to make sense of a massive budget that contains major policy initiatives, which are supposed to be the legislature's purview, but we know not just at this level of government, at all levels of government, it's the place for the executive to put their policy initiatives in. We don't even see line item detail. Like, I have to, every year on the regular, I ask for a separate file, and it's like this thick. But who has the time to go through every line item? I mean, we don't even know half the people we're contracting with because they're just contained in miscellaneous contractual expenses. Mm-hmm. And there's only so much time. So for me, this is all about time. So agreeing that we're going to get anything on the day that we currently get things is actually no help at all. Like, the only thing that helps is getting things earlier or changing the time frame. And I frankly don't care which it is. Like, I'm okay with changing the time frame and not getting the estimates, just getting more time with the final thing. That's great. But something has to give because we don't have enough time. So I don't know. But can we focus on this for a moment because we're 10 minutes out? Yeah. Is anybody asking for more specifics? You're saying more specifics. Is anybody asking for more specifics to be in here? Is there a chance that we can get something more specific in here that will make everyone happy? If so, then we should take time with it. If not... Well,
I will just say it's interesting how we're arguing with the Comptroller's office about something we agree on, just a different while the executive's wing sits over there and we let them go like we always do. Though I will say that Amanda and Joanna have been two people that, in my time here, have been more approachable and given me information more so than anybody else from that branch. But I think if we're not going to, look, we should probably, this year, we should probably take it to court if we don't get what we want in the budget. Let's just do that, because we're sitting here wasting time talking about language that ultimately, if it's not followed, it doesn't matter what's in there. It's like
the just to be concise on this, though, is there more that you feel like, do you need more time?
I'm now, especially watching this nonsense, I'm saying, forget it. Let's take them to court on the things that are in the freaking charter.
But let me just, if I may.
Otherwise, nothing's ever going to change.
But it is actually really important that we separate out the student, that we have a separate department of budget under our, like, I think that's getting lost in this argument. Like, that's what this is doing. So I firmly stand behind having a separate budget department with a separate person in that. And I think we all agree, given what we've got. So the question is, in creating something new, is there something else we want to see in there? We can do that other thing, too, but I'm saying...
Well,
what
we need to.
Okay, but let's talk
That's
about
fine.
This, because this let's is what the point was. Okay. So,
yeah, I agree.
Let's say, Chris, was it related to that, or...?
It was back to the timing. We had this exact conversation 2 years ago, saying that we really wanted to see initial numbers in July. I remember having
well,
those exact...
Yeah,
exact
that conversation sort of took a skew. Yeah. This is more about
so
this position.
This is a public hearing. I think we should say yes to the public hearing and then take up the issues later.
Walter.
Thanks. And I guess it relates doesn't exactly relate to this, but it does. And I just want to add that the timing is important, but is the wish list is also important. I mean, I'll say that for me... I put in many budget amendments based on finding out things that department heads wanted that they were not, that they were denied, that I felt, and I ended up getting full support from the legislature, were good things to have. So I, whatever it is should relate to timing, but also should relate to us having access to knowing what these department heads wanted in the first place so that we can decide whether we think they're worth spending money on. I don't know how to put that in there, but I don't want to lose that part too.
I just want to remind everybody in the committee that, you know, we don't have to have a second public hearing anymore, so we can have the public hearing and we can still make changes if we come up with ideas in between now and the public hearing and between now and adopting it. So I don't think adopting it tonight hurts us at all. I think that postponing it tonight hurts us with time.
Yeah. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. I just want to update you that we are pleased to announce the hiring of the quality analyst, Elena Gugularopoulos. Her name is hard to say, so call her Elena V. She previously worked for Grantmaker providing funding to nonprofits, and she was in banking before that. She started Monday with fully staffed banking guys. We'll get back to you with her work as in light of the Finance Commissioner's resignation, we have a series of charter changes
from
you guys.
You guys got
the Charter Commission
over there.
Has informed us they do not think they are going to get to ballot this year on our changes. Because any change that is not in the section on executive or legislative is going to have to come through the legislature. You would have to vote at your July meeting at the latest, and it really requires you to be having language for your June committee meeting. We are going to advance, and I was speaking with the chair this morning about this, a set of transparency and accountability charter changes that we think are incredibly necessary for our work going forward that cannot wait until 2025. So be on the lookout for that. These are things that the Charter Commission approved that we perceive to be non-controversial. For example, adding the word revenues to the description of our duties in terms of our oversight. It is not there right now. So we look forward to sharing those with you. On the audit side, since you last met in this committee, we released our real property audit, a snapshot of SPR, short-term rental occupancy tax compliance, a 22 sales tax update. You should have received all those via email. We are currently auditing IDA and solar pilot agreements. We are looking at CARES 1. You know, the recipients, we just surveyed them, and we'll be back to you with some reporting on that. Reviewing some capital projects and working deeply into assisting and advising USITA on how the IFARC transaction should be stated in their financials, because right now the transactions are not appropriately represented the way that they should be, either on the USITA side or on the county side. And then finally, we're continuing to assist other agencies in their review of the work and operations of finance during the Golnick tenure. Thank you.
There's some forthcoming resolutions.
And I think it was your resolution that brought that position in. should we kind of do a little coordinating with you? Because we wanted this to be something that we worked. We wanted surveys. I still have people contacting me constantly. There's things I'd like looked into as far as a lot of these outsourcing we do to reassess. And
I think that would be great. One of the things we are working with the quality analysts right now is to sort of come back to you with what are the universes of contracts that provide constituent services and how you could cut them. So you may want to, you know, we're looking at different groups of contracts right now. Like, do we want to look at agencies that have more than a certain number of contracts with the county? Do we want to look at agencies that have contracts over a certain size? Do we want to look at certain departments that were concerned about their oversight of particular agencies? So we're going to bring you, like, universes of contracts and get some feedback from you guys once we have, like, the numbers in there and the names of the contracts, agencies, and the types of contracts. We'd love for you to be able to kind of look at some of these lists and say, like, oh, that agency, this contract hits all three out of five of your criteria. We should look at it. Or you've gotten complaints on certain contracts. So we welcome your feedback. We want to bring you some data, too, to help inform the conversation.
Yeah, I would say, listen, Lawyer, since the beginning, the controller's office is stated emphatically they want us to be a part of this process and give them areas of potential focus. Not that they're going to list all 23 of us individually, but if we bring an area that's potential where we want to look into deeper, then absolutely.
I have a feeling a lot of 2023 is going to be coming to terms with the fact that the way our contracts are drafted right now may not provide the kind of reporting that we'll need to give you the quality analysis that you want. And so a lot of it is going to be, I think, advisory towards drafting 24 contracts that really require the kind of reporting that might be the most helpful.
Like the budget.
Some of the contracts are great. You know, I think we'll be able to pull out model contracts. Like, this is a great contract in terms of reporting on constituent services, and this is a crap contract.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right.
Any other questions? All right. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor? Aye.
Gary,
thank you. On time.
This is in your favor.